Hello and welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Another great one for you today as the Dubs are making moves, preemptively making moves. I think it's one we all saw coming, but still a little shocking as they get ready for their quote-unquote dress rehearsal of the preseason, getting ready for that regular season opener. Steph also speaks, has some interesting things to say. It's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's good? Was planning on actually waiting until after tonight's game to put out another episode, because there will be more to talk about after this dress rehearsal that they've called it, you know, getting ready for the regular season. But the Dubs didn't waste any time and made a move today in waiving Alphonso McKinney in order to give that roster spot to Marquese Chriss. And it's something we had talked about, something that was pretty obvious, just considering the avenues, the options that they had, even though I'm sure they'd prefer to keep McKinney and somehow moved on from Spellman. They still technically need Spellman for a little while until Willie Cauley-Stein and Kevon Looney come back. Now, Marquese Chriss has been the talk of Warriors training camp and preseason because it's a nice redemption story. And oddly enough, he's only 22. It's so funny in the NBA when guys have been around for a little while. Like Marquese Chriss, this is his fourth year. Had the first 2 years in Phoenix. Spent last year between the Cavs and the Rockets. It feels like he's been around a lot longer. Same thing with Kevon Looney. Kevon Looney's only 23, but it feels like he's been around forever. So the Warriors currently have 8 players under the age of 23, or 23 or younger, on their roster at this point, which I, for immediate purposes, isn't ideal. Just because you're trying to make the playoffs, you probably do better with vets. But for the near future of this team, I love it. I love that they're trying to develop young players. And that was part of what went into the decision of keeping Marquese Chriss over Alphonso McKinney. The fact he's 22, he's got major upside. In an article on The Athletic by Anthony Slater, I think you should all check it out, just talks about why they picked Marquese Chriss over Alphonso McKinney. It said that the Warriors front office believes his basketball brain is catching up to his immense physical talents. The guy was a top 10 pick. When he was coming out in that in the draft, 3 years ago, he was looked at as, you know, the next iteration of an NBA power forward. Now, he's playing center for the Warriors, still a little undersized, but he was looked at as the guy who can defend multiple positions, incredible athlete with a jumper. Now, obviously, it didn't work out. Part of that was Phoenix. And it's funny, he's been the talk of not just the Warriors training camp, but he's kind of been the talk of a lot of NBA pundits and Draymond Green even over the last couple of days. Draymond was asked about Marquese Chriss recently, and here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there was ever a doubt that he was a legitimate NBA player. I think everyone was just kind of waiting on him to turn their corner. He seems that he's turned the corner. I think he's been in some pretty tough situations. No one ever blames the situation, though. It's always the kid. No one ever blames these shitty franchises. It's always going to blame the kid. It's not always the kid's fault. And he's getting older now, so he's not a kid anymore. But, you know, he came into this league as a kid. But it's never the organization's fault. always that guy. So I'm happy he's got another opportunity to show what he can really do. It's a prime example. But no one's still to blame in the organizations. It'll always be the kid fighting. It'll be the next kid that come in fighting the next kid after that. So happy he's got his opportunity.
So that's Draymond on Marquese Chriss. And, you know, he went on to say that he thinks you don't blame or media doesn't blame the organizations because, you know, media still needs the access that organizations grant them, etc. And, you know, maybe there's something to that, but there's definitely something to the fact that organizations don't get blamed for mishandling young talent. And it's not that there isn't any blame to go on the players or anything, but you rarely ever hear about the organization doing a bad job of developing a player or anything like that. It's always on the player. So I thought that was interesting. And Marquese Chriss' former teammate Jared Dudley actually weighed in on Twitter and tweeted out, "You can definitely see the game slowing down for Marquese. His shot selection is night and day from now versus Phoenix. Used to shoot 5 threes a game, in parentheses was told to. His behavior is much improved, but team culture is key. Can't give young kids playing time. They have to earn it. Happy for him." So he mentions the fact that Marquese Chriss, who shot a bunch of threes at about 30% during his time in Phoenix, that he was told to do that. And that's what people saw out of him coming out of UW, was that he would be a stretch four, but not just a stretch four, that he just had all this ability that, you know, wasn't realized in Phoenix or in Cleveland. Now he's got an opportunity to do that in Golden State. And Jared Dudley, a former teammate, is seeing the improvements that he's made. Draymond Green has been Marquese Chriss's biggest advocate throughout his, you know, 3 weeks with the Warriors. Even coach David Thorpe, who's he's a trainer. He's a writer. He's on a bunch of podcasts on The Athletic and True Hoop and Count the Dings. He's everywhere. When asked about who could win most improved player, he even threw Marquese Chriss's name out there. Now, even though it depends on playing time, etc., from what he's seen in the preseason, I mean, he's blown away by the difference that it's made being with the Warriors over his first 3 years in the league and just the decision-making, the way he's playing. So it's just been funny that he's been kind of the talk of at least my NBA world for the last couple days. And it's well outside of just the Warriors news cycle, you know, that people are taking notice. And I think part of it is because a lot of people liked him coming out of college. A lot of people had high hopes for him coming out of college. Like, he was one hell of a prospect coming out of college. And that's another thing, too, why the Warriors picked him over Alphonso McKinney. It's not just the production that he's had through three preseason games, which is still pretty damn good. 9.5 points, 8.3 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1.3 blocks in 22 minutes a game. Like, those are good numbers. Those are really good numbers. And I also haven't seen him get killed defensively. You know, he's not going to be defensive player of the year or anything, but I also haven't seen a ton of brain farts or anything on his end. He's been solid. He's been real solid. And so it's not just the fact that he's performed. Obviously, that's a major factor. But on top of it, he's 22 and has a ton of room to grow. He's 5 years younger than Alphonso McKinney. He's actually, 8 months younger than Eric Paschal, a rookie second-round pick. So he's really coming into his own, but on top of that, like I mentioned, we're seeing him at center because it's out of a necessity. But when Kevon Looney and Willie Cauley-Stein come back, who says we can't see him at power forward? If him not taking five threes a game allows that average to get better, you know, he could get time at power forward. He could be a weapon beyond just what they have him doing now. Now, it's all based on potential, but that's what this team is doing and looking forward to for the future. Where Alphonso McKinney, even though he's only been in the league, 2 years? He's 27. And he is a better fit as a contributor on a good team where his energy and, you know, flying in for offensive rebounds and stuff like that will make a bigger impact than doing that on, you know, a team scrapping for the 8th seed. Now, Marquese Chriss, his contract did get converted to a non-guaranteed contract. It will guarantee early January. Last year was January 7th, or last season was January 7th. So sometime in early January is when it becomes guaranteed. So it still leaves them some amount of flexibility. Some amount of flexibility, but not a ton. They're basically at the same spot they were with Alphonso McKinney. But it gives them, it gives Marquise Chriss an extended tryout. And in this extended tryout, it gives them time to try and figure out if they can potentially trade someone else to open a roster spot or what have you. It just gives them more time to try and find a way to be more flexible, as hard as it is with the hard cap. It gives the Warriors a player at a position of need, and it also gives them the chance to try and develop a guy with top 10 talent. So if you guys have been listening to me over the last couple weeks, this, we all saw this coming. It's too bad. You all know I love Alphonso McKinney. I thought his story was one of the best of the NBA last year, but it's how it goes. The NBA is a cold-blooded place. Now that the Warriors roster is set, at least for the early part of the NBA season, I want to talk about the dress rehearsal game that they got coming up tonight. We're going to do that in just a minute. But first, Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering code LOCKEDON at checkout. That's LOCKEDON at checkout. The Warriors are taking on the Lakers for a fourth time. A fourth time in their preseason schedule tonight. Steve Kerr has called it their dress rehearsal game, which I mean, look, it makes sense. I get it. But I was also wondering, maybe playing a little devil's advocate, is it smarter to rest players and make sure that they're healthy for the start of the regular season, etc.? And the Lakers took my advice because, and I also thought this once they won by, you know, 100 points against the Warriors and in game 3 out of 4 in this preseason against each other, once they won by like 30 something, everyone was playing great. I figured they'd sit most people tonight, and that's exactly what they're doing. The Lakers are resting LeBron, AD, Dwight, JaVale, Danny Green, Avery Bradley, Rajon Rondo, and Quinn Cook this evening. So what, Contavious Caldwell-Pope's plan? And that's about it. Which also bodes well for the Warriors' quote-unquote dress rehearsal. It gives them a chance to play well, feel good going into the regular season, feel good ending the preseason. But yeah, I still don't get why they played the Lakers 5 times or 4 times. And I can't wait till it's over, and I'm sure you guys can't wait till it's over, so then you'll stop hearing me complain about it. But anyways, with the Lakers sitting everyone, it bodes well for the Warriors to put together a good performance and feel good about themselves. And by dress rehearsal, it means that Steph and Draymond and D'Angelo are going to play around 30, 35 minutes. We're going to see what the rotation is going to look like for the Warriors once the regular season starts, for now at least. Obviously, once Kevon Looney and Willie Cauley-Stein get healthy, it'll look different. Same thing with Alec Burks, who we haven't seen all preseason. Now, I assume Glenn Robinson is good to go because he was under the weather the last game, so I'm assuming we'll see him. I assume everyone that we expect to be available will be available. You know, Cauley-Stein and Looney we will not see tonight, but all the other ones who I think we expect to see, we will. I think Amari Spellman, I think, we'll be seeing, who missed last game as well. So, things to look for tonight, I mean, just play well, honestly. After that debacle against the Lakers on Wednesday, just play well. But more specifically, Glenn Robinson, I've been impressed with him as a role player. You know, he'll probably be starting at the three, but be more of a role player. Can he be a guy that can maybe give you 10 points a night? You know, that's going to be huge. Jacob Evans, I believe, is 4 of 7 from 3 in the preseason. Not a huge sample size. You know, I think we see Steph do that and a half, but still, the fact that he is basically, I'm pretty sure he's hit 1-3 in each preseason game so far, that's a big deal for him. That's a big deal for him and for the Warriors moving forward. I mean, that's more threes than I think Sean Livingston hit in his entire Warriors career. So the fact that Jacob Evans looks like he can at least be an adequate role player. We all know the defense is there. I'm still very high on his defense. But the fact that he's been able to knock down a three here and there, I mean, he's been huge for the Warriors and for him. Marquise Chris, again, keep up the solid play. You know, like I said, 9.5 points, 8.3 rebounds in about 22 minutes. Those are great numbers, especially now that he's not going to be going up against JaVale and Dwight, who have, you know, massive size advantages over him. Let's see how he does tonight. Pascal showed some skills. Continue to be that, you know, low ceiling, high floor role player that they need. Jordan Poole, I love him. He cracks me up. Can he go, you know, 6 of 9 from three instead of 2 of 9? Who knows? But he's just going to be the gunner that at times they'll need and at times will also hurt them. So he had two really good games to start the preseason, two pretty bad ones. Let's see where he goes from there. D'Angelo Russell, obviously, just continue to get better, continue to fit in and find your role. The three ball, I want to see you knock down more threes more consistently. He had a stretch where he went back-to-back-to-back, which was great, but he still ended 3 of 8 from three. So, you know, just more consistency, find your place with the Warriors. And then Draymond, does Draymond play better with Steph on the floor? I think we all know the answer is yes, but let's see it. Let's see it. Speaking of Steph, he actually sat down with Sam Amick of The Athletic for a nice extended interview and had some interesting things to say. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Wardell Stephen Curry sat down with Sam Amick of The Athletic recently for a nice sit-down interview and had some interesting things to say. He didn't go too far out on a limb, you know, Steph. But he was asked about LeBron and the situation down in L.A. and, you know, redemption and this and that and just all these kind of cliche narratives. And Steph kind of just shrugged them all off and was just saying, you know, you don't get to where LeBron is or where I've made it to by caring about that stuff. Your motivation comes from within. It has nothing to do with what narrative writers are coming up with or anything like that. So I'm sure he wants to win and this and that as much as I do, but it doesn't come from what a writer says or what narrative someone comes up with. It comes from within. And I thought that was interesting just because, you know, people like to lean into the narratives and lean into Steph MVP, LeBron redemption after missing the playoffs and blah, 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 all that stuff. So I thought that was a good answer, and I think it's also real. I think it's also pretty real. But again, it's different for everyone, so there might be some people who are out there, might be some pro athletes who see a narrative, see something Skip Bayless says, and, you know, I got to prove him wrong or something like that. But as far as Steph's concerned, I do believe that the narratives in the sports media world don't affect him. One last thing I wanted to get to that I forgot to get to earlier when it comes to Marquise Chris and just the entire roster situation with the Warriors is a guy like Damian Lee. You know, he's on a two-way contract. I'm still surprised he didn't get a full roster spot. But does he play well enough that at a certain point they have to find a roster spot for him? And whether that's Marquise Chris or moving on from someone else, you know, there's like I said, still very little flexibility. They've just basically bought themselves more time with the Alphonso McKinney and Marquise Chris move. Be interested to see who does pick up Alphonso McKinney off waivers. I'm pretty confident that he will be picked up, but again, we'll wait and see. But this move just buys him more time, buys him a younger player as well, with more upside and a player at a position of need. But again, you know, Damian Lee, or there's a buyout, or, you know, the Andre Iguodala stuff is an incredible long shot, but let's say he gets traded to a team that waives him and buys him out. Then he'd be eligible to come back to the Warriors, which I don't see happening this year. But I'm just saying the roster flexibility that the Warriors have is very little, but they've bought themselves more time. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'll be back next week with more episodes of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.